Blog Talk Radio.
The Ata Ewakan, sacred wind, you are like the great mystery, moving in all places, in all people, in all things. You cannot be seen, yet we feel your presence and see your power in the dancing prairie grass and the flight of the eagle. Whisper to our spirits. Help us to find wisdom once again. We are made of earth, fire, water, wind. We share one earth, one sun, and one moon. Let us live together as one people. Help us, great mystery, to mend the sacred hoop, to heal our brokenness, and to find once more our place in the web of life.
Hello, everyone. It's that same time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm your host, Amanda Dowell. We are on Messages of Light, which is brought to you by GGM Radio. Shout out to Reverend B with her crystal mine, the Avatar crystal mine in Mount Ida. She is very awesome, and I appreciate this radio show and that she has given me the privilege for almost 20 years to run a radio show. And I'm still going because of the confidence of other people that have supported me on this healing journey. And one of those people is my guest today, which I'll bring her up in just a minute. First of all, I want to announce that the Stages Wellness Holistic Center in Belleville, there are great services there. There's a wonderful massage therapist named Danielle Boaz. She is an excellent emotion code, body code worker that will work on your body and heal you of emotions. Danielle is also a massage therapist at Stages Wellness Holistic Center. And there's also a wonderful chiropractor who is named Bridget Liebarger, Dr. Leibarger is a very good acupuncturist. She got me over the fear of acupuncture needles. If it hadn't been for Bridget, I don't know where I'd be. You know, she's such a wonderful person. She has such a glow, and she is doing wonderful work down at Stages Wellness Holistic Center. I'd also like to feature Elated Hearts. They are a wonderful boutique down the street at 25 East Main Street. So Belleville, the Stages Wellness Holistic Center is located at 325 East Main Street. They have great merchandise. They have wonderful people. So shout out to those people. And also I want to announce that Trish, my guest today, Trish Violet, she has a wonderful church in Bethalto, Illinois. I want to say Missouri. I'm so silly. And Trish is doing wonderful work there. She encourages people. She's an intuitive healer. My guest today, she's an absolute sweet person who wants to heal people and help people and help people be conscious. So Trish is an intuitive healer. She's spiritual. She's a great teacher, visionary. She spent many years as a nurse until she had a car accident, which left her with a spinal injury, and she had a near-death experience, and she, refusing to give up, she learned to heal herself. She worked with meditation and healing techniques, and so she's further studied sound baths like me. We're quite alike. It's kind of fun. I'm looking forward to hanging out with Trish more. And she's into conscious exploration, hypnosis, spiritual workings, and law of one. And once a week, she facilitates a guided meditation to encourage intentions of healing ourselves and the planet, and we live as one and as a whole. I think that's beautiful, Trish, that you're doing such good work, that you want to put out good vibes, you're honest, you know, that's wonderful. So that's my guest today. So second half of the show, we're going to take questions. One question per caller. You can hit number one and raise your hand. And our call-in number is 347-237-5339. Hit one on the keypad. So I'm going to bring Trish live. Welcome to the show, Trish. How are you doing?
Thanks, Amanda. I'm so excited to be here. I'm doing really good this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's wonderful to have you. I mean, I love that you're looking to open people's minds and help people with the church you have on Harmony Lane. You know, you're going to have events there, and I'm excited. I want to be a part of that. And I'm even excited to do some singing bowls with you. That's going to be wonderful. Are you still there, Trish?
I am. I'm so sorry. You were cutting out for a minute. But, yeah, no, we are good. We have
I'm very excited that you have so many events. That's really cool.
It is, and we have so much planned. It's just a matter of putting it in motion and finding out what the community itself is looking for spiritual-wise. You know, talking to them, getting these events set up, getting the practitioners set up and that. So, because we have all kinds of practitioners just waiting to heal, waiting to counsel, you know, helping others get in touch with themselves. So there's a lot coming.
That's good. I mean, I love the fact that you are so caring, that you want to make a difference in the world. That has been my vision since I was a little girl.
Absolutely, and I think it takes, you know, the fire inside of you to get some of these things done, because there are so many others out there that want to make a difference and want to do something and want to offer this knowledge and wisdom, but they're just not sure how to go about it. So we are trying to find those people and work with those people to create something good here.
Yeah, I like the fact that you want to look for a community, that you're open-minded, that you can come with open arms to bring people who need healing and need services and need that guidance. You know, with having nurse practice, I'm sure that you're just I can tell I've only met you a couple of times, but just knowing you, I know your heart's so pure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the nursing experience did help me as far as, you know, being of service to others, learning patients, learning this, learning that. There was so much that I learned in that field. And then now I can bring over the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual wisdom, so with along with the body knowledge and the body wisdom, and that so I can kind of integrate that and you know, see what's really going on with people. And one thing I have learned too is just from doing a previous event here that people are just absolutely thirsty for this knowledge, and there's something more. In fact, I had at least a handful of people tell me, I'm just searching for something more. Like, I know there's more out there. You know, and we're not, you can only go to certain places that are open enough to even speak about it. So that was another comment that we got, you know, was that I'm so happy we can talk about this stuff here, you know. And
right.
Without that judgment, you know, and so on and so forth.
Well, I think that it's just wonderful that you're going to have, what, classes and wisdom, probably meditation, sound bath, events, maybe different healers, different speakers in your place to get knowledge, and you're going to bring people together. That's one thing I like to do.
Yes, me too, and really find that community and be that community too. I mean, we need to set an example about what the community needs and wants to look like. So, but yeah, we've got classes planned, like hero classes. You know, we want to teach people how to stand up for themselves and, you know, stand up for others, how to be nice people. You know, we need more of those people in the world. We've got plans for local authors night, because you and me know several local authors that just that are bringing through this beautiful these beautiful messages. So maybe a local authors night. We have plans to do we have plans to do plays where we act out our story, you know, to the community, and that to show that, you know, hey, these things can be done, and this is what happened, and we need to tell the world what happened. These things can be done. If I can do it, then you can do it. And also have fun with it, because we know that, you know, laughter is the best medicine, so there's no need to be too serious in that aspect.
Exactly. Sometimes we get so serious about things, and we you know, I love it when somebody says, "Boy, you're so serious." You know, you're just too serious. But you know, I am a comedian too. I like to be. You know, I have a joke. Yeah, I'm a mermaid. I like water. You know, I'm in water all the time, and you know, it's quite funny. I get quite humor out of that. But you know, I just like humor. I like to be laid back. I like to be fun. I love good music, and in fact, I write music. I might be one of those local authors pretty soon here. I'm thinking about writing a book myself, and it's going to be quite eye-opening. I know we have a mutual friend, Kathleen Aker, who has the book The Game of Life. She does a wonderful job, and her book is so cool to read. I've absolutely enjoyed, you know, applying my life to that.
Absolutely, and she is absolutely going to be one of these local authors here that's going to explain what her book is about, her story in writing the book, and why she wrote it, pointers in the book to where you can start playing the game right, because when you play the game right, nobody can follow, you know, and then, you know, you become this ultimate warrior of your own life, and that's what it's about.
I can't wait to see this church. I'm just absolutely ecstatic about the church and, you know, what you're up to and all that. I've had put out good visions of that. So it's a very beautiful thing.
Oh, yes. And it's got such beautiful energy here. So a little bit of backstory on it is my grandfather and my great-grandfather actually helped build it. And my grandfather was deacon here for many, many years. My great-grandfather played a part as well. My grandma played piano and taught Sunday school. And so it's really deep in my heart. It really is. It's almost like my legacy to carry this on. So it sat empty for many years. And we're bringing the community back in. We're bringing that energy back in. It's like it's got a second chance at life. So it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait for you to see it too.
That's wonderful, you know, and having plays, you know, having acting is just wonderful.
It is. It's such a good way to have fun. We're almost reliving our experiences, but on the other hand, we're healing that by using humor and, you know, also just telling the story, we're healing it. So, and get the community involved and have them laugh. And then at the end, tell them, this is a real story. And they're like, oh, my. You know, mm-hmm. just get a sense of realism, but humor, but also directness involved in acting out our stories.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it's wonderful that you're thinking of writing a book, too. I myself am writing a book. It's going very slowly because it's not like I don't have enough to do already. But
I'm sure getting the building up to par is very difficult because, you know, raising up a building like that takes so much work, you know, I know I've helped people with houses. So, you know, when it comes to building a church, you know, building up a church and having, you know, I know having people come and events and all that and advertising, that's part of it. And then just the upkeep, you know, just keeping it painted, keeping it fresh, you know, that's a job in itself. So the book could take, you know, years. I mean, I know mine is going to take a little while longer. I have mine written, but I have to rewrite it because there are some things that would be really good in it. So.
Well, absolutely. And oh gosh, yes, it is a lot of work, but my heart is in it. And that's where the work is done when your passion is in it, when your heart is in it, when you see that vision unfolding before your eyes, it just gives you the motivation to keep going and doing what you need to do. And my book too, you know, I started it and then I've restarted it and then I've restarted it, you know. And I think it's just going to take me sitting down and just writing it out and then not worry about going back and, well, I don't know if they're going to like this, you know. Just get it out, story out, you know. Just let that creative just go through you and just get it out. So you can send it off to an editor for, you know, vocabulary checks and all that later and just get the story written down. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's, someone told me write a outline of the book, outline what you're going to write about and then just start there and, you know, write your book. And people look to me every so often like, so is your book out yet? You know, I could go to a fair. Is your book out yet? No, there's probably going to be a sequel to it, how long it's going to be.
Well, that's good, though. It carries the story on, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think with me writing my own book, I get so far and then I get a writer's block, per se, because I get worried about what other people think. And that's one thing I did want to talk to you about today is, you know, why humanity seems so worried about what other people think. And, you know, the great people in the world didn't get to be the great people in the world by being worried about what other people think. So once we get over that hurdle, we become who we are truly meant to be by not having mm-hmm. those mental chains of people, other people's opinions.
Oh yeah. So you had a near death experience. What happened to you during the car accident? You had this near death experience?
Yes. So that was February 22nd to 2021. I was working as a nurse, a hospice nurse. I was driving from one patient's house to another, and I turned right. And then the next thing I know, me and a semi truck collided. So, I don't quite remember of the events leading up to that, so which I think is pretty common. So I don't actually remember the impact. I don't, you know, remember what exactly had transpired. But all I remember is, you know, seeing the truck, and then that was it. And then I woke up, or seemed to wake up in space, kind of, I guess. If I were to have to guess, I would say it was space. and I'm just floating. And I had a body, but not really, if that makes sense. It was more
right.
like my energetic.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, see? And I could still kind of feel that I was me, in a sense. I look around, and there's I'm seeing stars, I'm seeing galaxies, like, and they're making, like,
mm-hmm.
these geometric patterns almost. I could see energy, and I could feel, I could see, like, the energetic grid that connects everything. Like, I think scientists call that dark matter, although it's not really dark matter. They call it that because they can't see it, so, but they know it's there.
Right.
It's more like a source field, I guess. But there was no worry. There was no concern that this was happening. There was no sense of anxiety, you know, none of that. It was more like just a quietness, just a peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just came over. And then I saw like this white orb or it almost looked like a little an orb, I guess, and it was white, and it was glowing, and it was moving around towards me like it was coming up to me, and then it grows larger and larger, and
mm-hmm.
so I take, like, my pointer finger, like I'm going to reach out and touch it, and it was like I was sucked inside of it, and it was just this white, brilliant, glowing, vibrating, fluid light. That's the best way I can describe it. And, you know, a lot of people, I've listened to some other near-death experience stories from others, and a lot of them are pretty similar. A lot of people, though, they say they met entities or deities like Jesus or guides or past loved ones or this, and I did not see any of that. It was just me and this orb. And it's not to say I didn't sense them there. You know, I could sense that there was guides. I could sense that there was others there. I could feel their energy. But the point of my experience was just to be with this white light. And I was, like, hearing frequencies and feeling vibrations. And then it was like I was, like, watching the cycles of Earth, you know, civilizations rising and falling. This is all happening all at one time. And I know, you know, if you've not had a near-death experience, it's very hard to describe to somebody. I mean, it's very hard to describe to someone who has not had that type of experience. For those that have had, you know exactly
mm-hmm.
what I mean. It's everything. There is not really a sense of time. It's all happening at once. So I was seeing these civilizations rising and falling, and I was seeing what I think were past lives, but in a sense of where I was, everything was all one. Everything was all together. So I don't know if I was seeing my own or just my own through another set of eyes, you know. And but in these past lives, you know, I was seeing great civilizations, you know, making an epic mistake, and then the civilization falls, and then it started over again, and it builds, and then it builds, and then it builds, and then the same thing all over again. So, and that's another message that, you know, I want to bring, is that we are kind of on the brink of that as we speak. And I'll give some tips on how to avoid that in a little bit, but so I was here for, it seemed like a lifetime. It really did. There was no sense of time. So, you know, there was no clock for me to tell you how long I've been there. It felt like I lived an entire life or two even. And then when I left, you know, well, there was some conversation with this entity about, you know, how I should be more of a creator and less of a destroyer. And, you know, of course, the choice came, well, you can stay here, you know, if you want. And I was shown, you know, this is the life that this is what's going to happen on Earth if you don't go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. You know, I don't really like that. You know, this is what's going to happen
right.
to your kids. This is what's going to happen to your family. You know, if you choose to stay here, and there's nothing wrong with staying here. They've got their own life to live, and that's fine. You know, if you want to leave them to to be their own heroes and things like that. So, and I'm like, no, we don't like that. We're not going to have that. You know, let's go back. You know, they're like, all right, you know, it's going to be hard, but you can go back and then you can get this accomplished and that accomplished if you want. So, but the choice is always yours. This is the path that you can take if you want. And I said, okay, all right, well, let's go back. So it was like I exited this thing like by mitosis almost. It was like if you've ever seen cells replicate, you know, like in the birthing process, you know, it starts off of one cell and then it quickly divides. It was like I exited this thing and then it was like I was shoved through a vacuum. And I could like see the energy passing, like almost like a wormhole, if you want to call it that. And then I woke up in my car and I was still like in this psychedelic phase. I was seeing things very pixelated, like if you take an old TV, you can see all the pixels in it, and there was a lot of shapes, like people were, I could see like the geometry and their cells. It was just the strangest thing, and this lasted for about a couple hours while I was at the hospital. And then, of course, I got the news that, well, you know, your L2 vertebrae is broken and you got to get this back brace and, you know, you got a long road ahead of you, basically. And so I get home and, you know, first of all, I'm still like, what in the world just happened kind of thing. And you can't immediately come back talking to the doctors about, hey, I saw this. Like, it's almost like I just like witnessed creation, like the Big Bang. You know, you can't. Doctors do not understand that they just don't look at things on a spiritual side. They are trained to look at things very physically and very scientific. So could not say anything to anyone. But what I did was, you know, during the months in recovery, I really couldn't do anything. Of course, broken back, what can you do? I was lucky to make it to the restroom and back myself. So I chose to kind of use that time and just meditate on my experience, my life, okay, in general, and the world in general, because I really wanted to find the truth and what was really going on in this world. And the only way any of us ever find the answer of what is truly going on in our lives and the world and beyond is inside. The answers come from inside. That's one of the things I learned. Experiences, all the answers that we ever can know come from inside, that inner deep working. So I meditated for hours a day, you know, for at least a few months, and the things that happened were just absolutely incredible. You know, I was seeing a lot of healing taking place in my own body. I was able to visualize, you know, the light, this light coming in through my crown and going down through my chakras to the areas that needed healing. You know, I was able to feel just so connected to everything. And by everything, I mean, like, you know, the plants, the family, I could see how each and every individual person on this earth is connected by this energetic field. And, you know, it just learning how to get in touch with myself is what I learned. So I had found the Law of One before this experience, actually. I was reading it quite often. So, and for those that don't know what the Law of One is, it's a set of channeled sessions that were channeled in 1981, 1982 through a group of three people, Carla Rucker, John Elkins, and I always forget the third one's name. But they put it down into a book, and what the Law of One actually explains is, well, there's a lot, but because there's five books all together. But in a general sense, you know, is that we're all one. We are all one. And once we realize this, the whole world, you shift your perspective. And, you know, we understand that we are the elements, okay? We have fire in our soul. We have, of course, we have minerals in our body. We are the earth. We have air in our lungs. We have water in our bodies. You know, we are the elements, and these elements themselves are somewhat self-aware, okay? And when we realize that, you know, then we're magical beings at that point. Once we realize how it connects to our own consciousness, then we are able to heal. We are able to have that self-control. We are able to understand how our thoughts affect others and how our actions affect others in our daily life. And it's imperative that we learn these steps to take control over our own self again and allow others to take control over their own selves again. So the world shifts at that point, especially when we all come together and realize this, when we all unite.
Yeah.
But that's just the gist of that near-death experience. I mean, I went from being a nurse to a ordained minister and doing healing and, you know, which is why I watched a video not a couple days ago, actually, on the near-death experience, or someone who has studied near-death experiences. And this is very common that they start off as one thing, and once they have this experience, there's no going back to what they were doing before, and they change directions in their life. And a lot of times it's, you know, being counselors for others, being healers, being pastors, being just in service to others, just in service to others.
That's the key. That's the key. That's the same feelings, vibes I've known for years. You know, I had a friend of mine who lived in Florida, a very good author. Her name's Michelle White Dove. She told me years ago, do you realize what you promised? Do you realize what oath you took? You can't go back. And that's really the oath you take, you know, is that you're going to be of service to others, help them. And I went through my own experience, kind of like you did, had the near-death experience, had, you know, similar happen. And I just went, okay, I can get out of this. And I had an encouraging healer help me when I was in the hospital, a quantum healer. She's very dear to my heart. And I just went forward, and these things started happening. I started meeting people who are essential for what we're working on, what we need to do, what our vision is, you know, and I love what you're sharing.
Definitely, definitely. And our vision is, you know, just almost kind of rearrange, you know, the entirety from the inside out. You know, that this is a lot of our mission here during this time. It's a very impeccable time on planet Earth as far as, you know, paving the way. And we need to be that role model. We need to be that example for others to show others how to be their own heroes instead of waiting for somebody else to save them. And nobody wants to hear that nobody's coming to save them. I know that's a harsh reality, but I have had to learn how to be my own hero in a lot of situations, and it is so much more, you feel like you've conquered something. It is so much more positive when you can say, I did this myself. I did this when no one else would do anything. I did this. I saved myself. What a beautiful feeling. You know, it's like that, somebody who's being held prisoner, whether it's physical or psychologically, you know, which a lot of what we're seeing right now in the world is people are feeling very psychologically imprisoned. Well, you don't necessarily just go up to the person that's holding you prisoner and be like, it's okay, like so-and-so is going to be here to save me. And then years go by and years go by and nothing happens until you yourself, you know, save yourself. No matter how much you try, you know, to manifest somebody else coming to save you, ultimately it's up to you. And no matter how that gets done, you can't really go up to them and say, I see what you're doing and you're going to set me free now. They're going to be like, no. And mm-hmm. So you do have to put up a little bit of a battle, whether that's a battle in your own mind. And I'm telling you, a lot of times, you know, what's holding us back is all in our minds. What is holding us back from standing up for ourselves and setting ourselves free is all in our minds a lot of times, because they, you know, we're told you don't have any power. It's the biggest lie in the world. is that, you know, they make us feel like we do not have any power over ourselves. And then marching out that door, you know, and setting your soul free is the most beautiful feeling in the world when you can do that for yourself. And when a certain number of people can do this and together, I mean, a whole new world can be born. It really can. And one message, you know, out of my near-death experience that I had is, you know, like I said, I felt like I literally witnessed creation, you know, of something being born from one thing. That's creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is the universe born is mirrored in the conception process. You know, we see mother and father coming together and into one cell. And the moment it takes place, it's like, again, it mirrors creation in general. The cell replicates into two and then four and then eight. You know, this is a mirror of creation ourselves. So, and me, you know, literally, you know, going through this mitosis with, you know, whatever source, creation, whatever it is, I mean, that is creation. We need to learn how, and we need to remember how to be part of creation again. We have forgotten that we are part of creation. We are mirrored. We are a mirror of creation ourselves. And creation can come out in artwork, you know, your very own artwork, your writing, you know, write that book, you know, paint that painting, play that music.
Exactly. Play that music. Do that painting. Yep. Do that singing ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Tell your story. Get it out there. And it could be, you know, with what's going on in, you know, politics and that. Well, say something. Say something. You know, the biggest secret in the world is that, you know, I will say I am a Christian, so I do kind of hold a little bit of Christian values. But the biggest secret in the world is that you are that rider on the white horse with the sword of truth coming out of their mouth. That's when you stand up and say something and stand up for yourself. That's the biggest secret, is that we are that rider on the white horse. His name is Faithful and True, because it's truth, and that sword is truth. You know, not worrying about, you know, what others' opinions are. When you see that there is wrongdoing, either in your personal life, like I said, or in political, say something. Stand up. You know, get on your horse and grab the reins and just get moving.
Exactly.
Again,
just keep moving.
Right, right. And, you know, again, this is a lot during the Renaissance. You know, we saw great artists, great writers, great musicians, because that was also what they called the period of enlightenment. And enlightenment is realizing your creation within, and that you have the ability to create these things. You have, I can guarantee all these listeners have ideas in their minds about what they actually want to do, not what somebody else is telling them that they need to do. That's another thing that I've witnessed in the world, is a lot of people are stuck doing something they don't want to do because society tells them they have to do this. Well, no, I have all these ideas in my head about who I want to be and what I want to do, and that's to paint paintings or to play music or to write this and write that and, you know, be an activist or this and that. But the society
exactly.
tells me I can't
yeah.
do that. You know? Why do we do that? Be creation, you know, create your own, what you want, be the change that you wish to see in the world. You are that change. You know, it has to start from somewhere. And, you know, it's time, again, we get on our horses and pick up our reins and get moving on it and be who we want to be, who we're meant to be, not what somebody else is saying that we have to be.
Exactly. Get on that horse and just take off. Just do it. And I love that
yep.
you have that passion to just take the reins and go. You know, that's kind of what I do, and what jobs I've taken on is to just go do it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or anybody says. Just run the course. Just run with it. And don't look back, and, you know, your guides and helpers and God and your angels and you know, the God and Goddess have your back.
Absolutely true. When you are in that passion and truly living from your heart and taking it by the reins, even in a cold world, you know you are protected by, you know, creator, you know, whatever deity that is for you. And I got to say, you know, I've read a lot of, I've done a lot of research, you know, especially after my near-death experience on Egyptian and, you know, other end times prophecies and even Zoroastrian, Islam, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, all of these end time prophecies are all saying the same thing, that their specific deity, whoever it is, Christ, Kalki, Buddha, whoever it is, they all say that they all return and take the reins and get moving, and then evil is, you know, demolished, you know, from the world by the specific deity. So we're all looking at the exact same prophecy. It's just that they wrap it up into the one person that came in and tried to remind them of who they were. So and preached, you know, the realm of heaven and that. But they don't realize that is them. Again, we are that rider on the horse that's taking the reins. You know, this is what people need to understand, you know, and we're always waiting for somebody else's permission. And we don't need permission from anybody else. We know what we need to do. We have it in our minds. The only person that's holding us back is ourselves in some circumstances. And, you know, that's all in our minds that we're held back, and we can't speak our truth in that. So, and I realize, you know, what's going on in the world, our truth is trying to be censored in that. Well, you know, it's time that, you know, truth outreigns, you know, the lies. So whether that's saying, you know, I see your lies and I raise you the truth, you know.
Yeah, right.
This is what's going on. So, but, you know, sometimes it takes these experiences, you know, unfortunately, for some people to recognize that they had it inside of them all along. And and this is why people with these experiences are now, a lot of them are starting to really speak up, and I applaud them, because the message is always, you know, get moving to orders. You know, you are a part of creation. This is what I've shown. And stop waiting for somebody else's permission. If you feel like you need permission, well, then I give you permission, I guess. But you shouldn't need my permission to do what it is that you need to do. But the whole message behind my experience, again, you know, remember that you are a part of creation. And as Jesus said himself, I am the creator and the creator is me. Or he said, I am the Father and the Father is me. And we need to understand that we're moving into that type of world where a lot of people have that realization that they've had again them all along. A lot of things in the solar system is changing. We're moving into a different area in space, and it's increasing energy. It's affecting our sun, and there is just so much cosmologically that goes into this as well. But we have to see, too, that it's affecting our consciousness. Our consciousness is getting a big upload, you know, when the sun gets bombarded by increased amount of electrons, and then we get solar flares that bombard the Earth's electromagnetic field. You know, we are electromagnetic beings, and our consciousnesses, our bodies are, so we are getting an upload in this. And when we're talking consciousness, we are talking quantum physics. That's why this quantum healing that's now kind of coming back around, it is effective, because our consciousness itself is quantum physics.
Right. It's so important. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on out there that the more conscious we are of how powerful we are, it's huge. You know, we can do so much. We can alchemize, you know, transform things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the biggest lie is that we don't have power over ourselves. And, you know, we need to understand that, you know, we do have the power over ourselves. We do have this spiritual knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, what I've learned in the last couple of years is, you know, I did not get my lockdown initially when everyone else did because I was working. I was working right in the heart of it. But I did get my lockdown, in essence, you know, when I had the car accident and I went internally. It's that internal seeking. A lot of people have had a chance to internally seek. You know, when we're separated from one another, it's almost like it does the opposite. We understand our unity and things. So that internal seeking, really, when we try to find ourselves, we only find unity with God. We only find unity with each other. So I find that interesting. I did want to point that out.
Exactly. There is so much good out there. I mean, you know, they're trying to distract us with lots of, you know, things going on, but there's so much good. There's so much out there that is so powerful and so wonderful, you know, like your church and what you're building and the light workers that are going to come in and the healers and the teachers and the classes and, you know, of course, the entertainment, comedy, and dancing and movement and all that is just wonderful. And then there's these distractions that come up. But you're right, you know, we can transmute energy and make it wonderful, make our lives beautiful.
Yes, yes. And there's something in the Law of One, they talk about how some things are catalysts for that inner growth. A catalyst is, you know, if you look at the exact definition, it's to make something move. So, you know, I took the last couple of years as a catalyst, and I used negative or what appears to be negative circumstances and completely turned them into positive because I literally transformed myself and my own consciousness. And now it's time, though, like you said, with this church, you know, I've taken the catalyst and I've grown internally through my personality, spiritually, even physically. Now it's time for me to put all this knowledge and all this wisdom and all this healing and show it to the world. So first you heal yourself and then you get to heal the world, really. So by doing this teachings and everybody else coming in with the sound healing and the reading and the counseling and showing off their work with their inner truths, their books that they've written, the artwork, you know. So that's what this is about, you know, transforming yourself, and then you help transform the world.
Mm-hmm. I think that this church, the events that you're doing, and the heart that you've put into this Harmony Lane church is going to be wonderful. You know, the beautiful part of it is, look, it's harmony, peace. You know, that's all we want these days is harmony and peace. That's what we're asking for. You know, that's what our world needs to become, caring, loving, loving healers, loving people, welcoming arms, trusting people.
Right.
All that.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely. And I was initially going to actually call it something else, and then so the church is off of, well, kind of off of Melody Lane here, and Andrea, actually, our mutual friend, is the one who mentioned that name. I'm like, you know what, I actually really enjoy that name, Melody Lane, because it's almost like it's vibration, it's frequency, it's singing a new song, you know, the melody, you know, and it sent me down a rabbit hole of actually that's actually very accurate of what this church needs to be called, because now it's my turn to sing, it's our turn to sing, I just can't wait. I can't wait to see what it turns out. And just that first event, it was just so incredible, and the amount of people that came in that were just hungry for this information and guidance and healing, and you know, I hope they come back and then we get some more people, and so it's going to be a beautiful thing.
It is going to be a beautiful thing because there's so much healing that's there, and so much, you know, your meditations that you do are wonderful. You know, they're so peaceful. The meditations you provide, the music, the care that is there, you know, with everybody, you know.
Sure.
It's just beautiful.
Sure.
And that's
and
what
and
we need. We're shifting towards that.
We certainly are. You can definitely just feel the shift in the air towards that kind of stuff, for sure. And the meditations that I do are centered around, you know, what's in the law of one, and as well as just finding that peace within ourselves and healing the world, sending love to the world, sending understanding to the world. But we are the channels of that. It does have to come through ourselves first, you know, and then we can bring it into the world.
Exactly. That's a good step. You know, showing people the meditations and how you, you know, how you teach. You work with the law of one. So that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So, and it's a great set of books. If anybody's interested, they can go to lawofone.info, and it'll take you through each session of each book. Again, this was a series of channelings done by a group of three people. It's very, very thick language. The first time I read it, I didn't understand a thing about it, but I knew I had to listen to it, so I kept listening. I actually listened to the audiobooks or the audio recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm kind of more of an auditory learner myself, I can sit and read a book, yes, but with that type of thick language, it was pretty hard. So I listened to it. And didn't understand a thing. And still, I just could not get enough of it. So then I went through it a second time a little while later, and I understood a little bit more, and then the third and the fourth, you know. So then it just really, you understand it on a whole new level each time you read it. Each time you read one session, you find more that you can internalize and really lay out the groundwork of what it's trying to say. So and. A lot of it is they don't necessarily give you a straight answer. The question was asked and then an answer was given, but they don't necessarily give you a complete straight answer. They kind of leave it open for interpretation for yourself, which I think is incredible because all, in my opinion, a great teacher is the one that allows you to get to the finish line on your own. A great teacher is somebody that allows you to find your own inner power, not necessarily telling you how or what to think. That's another big thing in this world that we need to get away from is people telling us how and what we need to think or feel. You know, because then they're telling you
mm-hmm.
what you're thinking and feeling is not right. And so they're telling you that your own information is wrong. So, you know, allowing somebody else to get to the finish line on their own. But you can advise them. You can wish them well. You can, you know, send love to them, of course. But ultimately, it's up to the other person how they get there or when they get there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's how you visualize, but and how you put forth the meditation. I like all those things that we can learn, the spiritual principles, you know, kind of what some people talk about, you know, minding your own business, forgiving others, paying attention, you know, all of that is just wonderful.
Absolutely it is. And forgiveness, you know, that opens up a whole thing. You know, forgiveness truly stops that wheel of karma. And it's not only just forgiving the other person, it's forgiving ourselves
mm-hmm.
too. And I think a lot of folks have that trouble is I can't forgive myself for this. Well, yeah, you can. You just say, look at a picture of yourself and say, I forgive you. I can tell you the hardest thing that I have ever done, and I almost forced myself to do it, is to look at a picture of myself and say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I love you, and to myself. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
nuts? I mean, but once I did that, it was like 18,000 doors open for me, when we can, and mean it, too. We have to mean it. You know, another thing the Law of One, you know, talks about is, you know, we are constantly getting lessons in each of our energy centers. And by energy centers, I mean the chakras, you know, the root and the sacral and so on and so forth. And let's pick on the heart, for example, like the heart, you know, that our heart chakra is about unconditional love. It's about forgiveness. It's about compassion. It's about understanding. Okay, we are always getting lessons in our daily life on how to forgive and how to be compassionate and how to be understanding the other person's point of view. And when we can be in that center and be in the present moment with ourselves and really step back for a minute and really look at what the situation is trying to tell you, is I think this is giving me a lesson in patience right now. I acknowledge this is giving me a lesson in patience. Okay.
Right.
So then you... That's almost like discipline of the mind at that point, you know, and okay, I can be more patient, you know, and having that self-control and having patience or compassion, you know, seeing somebody homeless and, you know, begging and, you know, everything else. And, you know, how many people would turn a blind eye and tell them to get away from them? And, you know, this is giving me a lesson in compassion so I can be compassionate towards this person and understand, you know, it's almost two lessons in one, and then offer this person a nice meal or something to that nature. You know, these are the lessons that we get. And the more we open up to that, and we get these lessons in dreams too. Dreams are showing us what areas in our life that we need to work on. These are cryptic messages, but that's another thing that I really enjoy doing it, you know, decoding these dreams and helping this person figure out what this dream was trying to tell them. So, you know, and that brings up a whole realm of the law of one also talks about the dreaming world. And in fact, we actually kind of go to like this whole other place where time is kind of non-existent or it's all happening at once. And that kind of, it's like a bridge to the spiritual world. With our guides and, you know, ancestors and, you know, other loved ones and that, where we're trying
exactly.
to tell us a lot of stuff about it. So, yeah.
See, that's wonderful. I think that it's important to realize that we have a very good, you know, you're talking about guidance and guides and protection. It's very important to realize that we have these wonderful unseen protectors, these wonderful guides that can help us heal.
And they're there all the time. And just like I just said, you know, the best form of help is to show the other person how to get to the finish line themselves. That's what they do for us. So they're never going to come in and say, why aren't you doing this? You need to do this. You're not doing it right. They're never going to say that. They're going to offer the information through dreams or other messages during our waking life. And it's up to us, though, to take that information. And it's not wrong if we don't take it. Now, it may take longer to get to the finish line, you know, of course. But it's really up to us. But they're there, and we just need to ask for their help. That's all they're waiting on. We have to ask for their help. And, you know, they do respect free will in that aspect. You know, they can't, you know, come in and intervene for us, you know, at any time without us asking. They won't do that. You know, that want, that need for help, you know, comes from us. And then we keep a lookout on, you know, what's happening around us to, you know, decode what it is they're trying to tell us because they're there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And sometimes we have to listen to that little nudge that tells us, you know, you need to do something. When you don't listen, you know, there's consequences. You get quite a lesson, but we all are learning.
Yeah.
We're all here. We're all human beings having a spiritual experience. And like you said, you know,
absolutely.
You knew that your body wasn't you in your near death. I knew too. And we're all here to experience love and harmony and peace and learn these lessons.
Absolutely. That is the big thing in this world is we are put here to experience. We are put here to experience and to grow and to recognize these lessons. You know, we are at a very pivotal point right now, and it's up to the ones that recognize that they're being given lessons in our daily lives to really shift, to really just shift the energy here. We just, again, take the reins on it and start doing what you need to do.
Exactly. That's what we have to do. It's just like, you know, we don't care what people think. We just have to take the reins. You know, we just have to, we have to do what we have to do when they're pushing you, because when you don't, I mean, regardless, it's going to, everything's going to happen. We have these reasons, you know, these lessons.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes when we are trying to do something good, something positive, we do, and I think you said earlier, we get these distractions that happen. And, again, those are only catalysts, things that you have to draw strength through your spirit to push through. I have had several distractions trying to get this sanctuary up and running, and it was rather unfortunate, and I felt very disheartened sometimes. And then I sit back and I meditate. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm drawing strength from my spirit, and I know that this is something that I need to do and I have to do, and for myself, but also the community as well. Like, get these messages and these healings out there. And so that strength comes from inside. That strength came from my heart, my spirit, my mind. I mean, all of it. So, and I pushed through and just got things done. And a lot of it was by myself, you know. Beautiful people came through for me, and like Andrea and Alina and Mom and Dad were helping in some areas. And those are things that I didn't quite expect, but I also looked back and, you know, this is coming from my strength that I need to do this, and it's important for this mm-hmm. world. And, you know, the end result is, you know, things got conquered, and now these things are going to come, these beautiful things are going to come out into the new world.
So. Absolutely. I love it that your heart is so big, that you want to make a difference, because, you know, some people question, why am I here? You know, why did I get put on this planet? You know, what's my purpose? And, you know, you're already a compassionate intuitive healer. You're an enlightened spiritual teacher. I think that is beautiful, and you're opening up a world to share with other people that are wonderful, you know, that I can think of. There are so many, but I mean, just wonderful people. You're opening up a space, and that is huge, that you're the caregiver, the caring person, and that we're opening up this world where people can come and be. That's just a world that I could see, but I didn't really know how it would come to be. And then I'm being connected to all these wonderful people that have shown me so much through the Healing Center. It just really warms my heart. You know, I'm very touched.
Yes, yes. And I agree with you. And, you know, as far as the people that come in go to, I mean, not from, of course, me meeting wonderful people is absolutely beautiful. And it really calms my soul to know there are good people out there really trying to make a difference. And then you have the community come in and say these exact things, like, I'm so glad we can talk about this stuff here, and I just want something more, you know. And we are out there. Just find the others.
Oh, yeah.
Find the others, you know. And one theme that I noticed over, you know, the event that we have done is a lot of people have forgotten they were born free. And, you know, they're still living under the illusion that they have to live under what somebody else is trying to tell them to do. And I think I'm repeating myself on that, but it was a really big theme that weekend, is that people just forgot they were born free. And it's they can't do this and they can't do that because society says that they can't. I can't learn that. I can't study this. So this person tells you, well, this person, you know, well, you know, we were born free, you know. We were born free. Are we hurting anybody? Are we being mean to anyone? Are we, you know, so on and so forth? Well, then why is it anybody else's business what we're doing? As long as these things are not being done. So, but it is
you're
a beautiful thing
sharing
to see.
You're sharing this beautiful information. That's what I love, you know, and you're working towards, you know, showing people lessons in the way. I think that is a beautiful thing. And other people aren't really enlightened on what you're teaching yet. And really, it doesn't matter. when they seek the knowledge and when they're drawn, they'll come. Are you still
Absolutely.
There, Trish?
I
oh, there
am.
You are. Okay.
Yes, you cut out every so often, but I think I
Sometimes Blog Talk has issues with techie issues with the computer or, you know, their service. But I think it's good that you're a teacher and that you're wanting to share this information. And there's so much for people to learn and so much to, you know, offer.
Right. There is so much out there. And I think we're at a point in civilization where that's exactly right. You know, at the end of people are wondering who they're supposed to be. You know, and the answer is whatever you want. You know, it really is. The
right.
answer
what
is whatever
do
you,
be?
You want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I have one reading where I was talking with a woman and there was some things that happened in her life, and she ended up losing a partner and this and that, and you know, she came in wondering what she was supposed to do, and I said, well, what do you want to do? She goes, you know, nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody's ever asked me what I wanted to do. And I'm like, well, you ask yourself, what do you want to do? You know, don't go to somebody else and ask, what am I supposed to do? That answer comes from you. What do you? You ask you. So that's the point where we're at in life is, you know, a lot of people are just stopping and thinking, wait a minute, what do I want to do? Again, the answer is whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
I think it's wonderful that you're so compassionate. You've been through so much. You know, we go through so much, and they say that's the bigger lesson, the bigger purpose. You know, if something very, very traumatic or bad happens, it teaches you the bigger lesson. Look at what you've come through.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Amanda. You get these people that go through things that were meant to just completely destroy them. You know, the catchphrase is you can't really mess with those people because those are God's people, because then they come out and then they're like, nope, I'm going to take this catalyst and I'm going to turn it into something fantastic, and I'm going to show the world what I learned through my own experiences, because there are other people out there that are going through these things. In fact, before my car accident, a couple of years before, I had like a spontaneous spiritual awakening. And so I was already awake, quote unquote, you know, before I had went through this near-death experience. So you know, I was at home alone, not alone, I was with my partner, and we were watching a movie, and the movie is supposed to be a horror movie. It was As Above, So Below. And I was paying attention to the movie, but I was like trying to find the symbolism in this movie. Like, what is this supposed to mean? Like, you know, what's going on in this movie? What's the message here? I was that type of person. And like, as soon as I figured it out, I'm like, oh, we're supposed to go inward and like heal our traumas and stuff. Like, the only way out is inward. You know, to define why we had to go through these traumas and that. And as soon as I thought that, it was like somebody flipped a switch in my brain,
mm-hmm.
like this lightning bolt came in. And I was on my couch, you know, seeing all these layers. I saw myself as myself, and then I saw myself as the Earth, and then I saw myself as the solar system, and then I saw myself as, like, the galaxy, and I'm like, holy moly, it's all connected. Like, you know, and I'd never, ever experienced anything like that before, and seeing all these layers and, if you want to call them dimensions or densities, whatever it is, and pulling in through all these downloads and information, and, you know, realizing that, you know, we are all in this together, and the more of us that come together and help kind of co-create this new reality by offering this information and actually doing our missions and actually teaching what we want to teach, what we feel like we need to teach, or drawing that art that we feel like we need to be drawing that art, then we're going to see a whole new world created out of this. So so that was my spontaneous awakening. It was like this lightning bolt came through me all of a sudden, and like my whole life got flipped around, you know, in one single minute. And I had to kind of learn how to exist after that. I really did, because I couldn't talk to anybody about that. Nobody else would understand what I was even talking about. And then eventually, you know, I just, this feeling inside me is that I just needed to get out there and start talking about it, because the feeling was, well, you
exactly.
have this experience. This are, somebody else is having the experiences, and you remember how you never had anybody to talk to, and they don't either. So be that person, you know, be that person that they have to go to for advice, because they're also experiencing this. So, yeah.
So I understand that you do homeschooling. I think that is also a wonderful thing that we need these days. The children and the school systems have gotten so crazy these days, and I think that your work, being so compassionate and caring in all you do, is really important. So I'm excited for that, because I, too, love children and I love educating them. So I think it's beautiful that you're doing the homeschooling with your children and possibly other children, if I'm understanding correctly.
It's just my kids for now, but I'm not opposed, you know, if somebody else, you know, would like to exit, you know, that system and then come to homeschooling by any means. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. And, you know, it's something that I can structure on my own time. You know, if there's an emergency that comes up, then I can do the schooling anytime that I wish. And it's not only that kind of freedom, it's just the fact that I get to see what it is they're learning. I get to see and choose what they learn. As long as they get, you know, the right credits in at the end, and then I have to tally it and just make sure that they're, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, of course. And but I can add any lessons that I wish. You know, I can teach them about tigers one day, if that's what I want to do. I can teach them about spiritual studies if I want to do that, because I have noticed that my children are also having very spiritual experiences, and you know, so I do want to encourage that as well. I like to encourage them to talk about it. I can do that, and then I don't have to go to you know, the school and complain if they're teaching my children what they're teaching them nowadays in school. So, and I don't want to get into that, because that'll set me on fire. But everybody probably understands what I'm talking about.
I'm excited that you do that, because I think it's a little harder for the kids these days to go into that school system, because they don't have the love vibe as much as they would from a situation, you know, like you. And I know that's why you're doing the homeschooling, is to help your children to have a better energy, you know, and then you're having the church to help guide people to better understanding and more. So that's exciting. And I look forward to, you know, seeing that coming from you, because that is going to be wonderful too.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And, you know, for those, you know, thinking of homeschooling, I think it's a beautiful thing. There are, as far as trying to get them the social aspect, because that's one thing I think a lot of parents are reserved about, is, well, they, all their friends are at school. Well, that doesn't mean they can't still, you know, go on play dates, and that doesn't mean that they still can't go on field trips and see their friends in other ways and that. You know, we try to time taking them to the park when, you know, the Boys and Girls Club gets out, they see their friends still. We still go on field trips. There's homeschool groups now where a bunch of parents that are homeschooling can get together and go on a field trip together. You know, there's a lot of ways around that. So, you know, and me doing what I'm doing here, I'm introducing them to other like-minded people that are like them, who also have children who are like them. So it's
right.
creating that in this community.
That's wonderful, and I love it that we can glow and give off good vibes. Somebody mentioned that your husband or somebody Well, he plays music, but someone named John glows, and he has such good information. So I'm just sharing that out there that you guys glow. And you have such a glow about you, too, you know, because you're so kind and compassionate, and I love it. You know, I just love the compassion. I love that you love Lie. I love that. So it's exciting.
I do, too, Amanda.
My friend was the... Andrea was saying that that's one of your sons. So he glows. That's wonderful. Children are just a good, I love kids. I can't get away from kids, and the kids love, you know, the light when they see it. I mean, I know that comes from you, and I spend a lot of time with children. I love what you're doing. It's exciting. It's great. So, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know your husband plays music. He's very cool, too. So I know he's in a band. And that's just exciting, what all you're doing, all the excitement.
Oh, yes. It really is exciting. When you take a step back and look at it all, it's just amazing. So, yeah, John is my oldest. He is 18. And he does have a glow about him. In fact, you know, over the weekend that we were here doing the event, you know, he came in and kind of mingled with the people. And at one time, I come out from giving a reading, and he's just preaching, and he's got, like, a whole audience. And everybody was just, like, really intrigued at the information. You know, it's all galactic information and vibration and frequency. And for him to be to have that knowledge at such a young age is just phenomenal. And I, you know, yes, of course, you know, he's done a lot of research himself on a lot of things, but a lot of this information is just coming from him. It's that inner knowing that
mm-hmm.
he wants to get out, you know, and so I encourage that. And then Matthew, my husband, he's a guitar player. He sings as well. In fact, he was the guitar player for one advance that he was in, and then one night the singer couldn't make it or something, so he just filled in so they could practice, you know, and then by the end of it, they're like, yeah, you're our singer now, you know, so it's amazing that we can do, and we have to do it, and we don't even realize that type of gift that we have until it comes out, and we just do it. And you know, he does a lot of shows sometimes. They've kind of moved into doing more private parties, you know, not doing the bar scene because, you know, I think not only me, but they were having just, it's all negative energy. You know, we're not really into that, you know, so we're doing it more on a personal basis. And anybody that wants to hear some good music, you know, and he has such a powerful voice. He really, really does. And I'm not sure he knows exactly what he can do. None of us really know what we can do until we take a step back and look at ourselves from somebody else's point of view. And the same goes for John as well.
Exactly. So we've got some people raising their hands. They want to talk to us.
Sure.
Let's see. I'm going to bring this gentleman online who wants to talk with us from the Missouri area. It's area code 636. You're on the line with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Good day, ladies.
Good day.
Hi, how can I help you?
I was just going to see if I could comment on the program. I had my own near-death experience several years ago, and I've been stumped by just ongoing a lot of very profound experiences that have led to nothing, and I'm trying to find the balance in all this, and I was wondering if I could reach out to you maybe through Facebook Messenger to introduce myself and then maybe arrange for a conversation sometime in more depth with more specific things, but this has been a very refreshing phone call, hearing your enthusiasm, how you want to share this with the world. It is beyond refreshing. So I want to honor that.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, if you're asking me if you can reach out to me on Facebook, please do. It's Trish Violet. You can find the link from Amanda's page if you wish. I'd be more than happy to. If you're referring to Amanda, I'm sure that's fine, too. But please, because there's a message somewhere in your near-death experience that just needs to get out, and that's the message that you're supposed to share with the world.
You know, that's interesting. I created my own LLC company here in Missouri many years ago, and I'm rearranging the name now that I live through the prophecy of what I was trying to create. And I'm trying to find where to arrange that with other spiritual components and other things to bring more people into this type of an awareness. because I knew a lot of stuff was real, but until I had to live through it, it just rewrote all the perspectives I brought to all of it in a lot of different dimensions.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of times that's what the experience is supposed to do for you. It just kind of rearranges your own perspective so that you can help arrange others' perspectives in their own world. And that. So I'm happy for you. That's really exciting.
Well, it's been a very, very, very dramatic conversation. So I know you have other callers, and I want to thank you both for allowing me to speak with you both, and I'll reach out to you sometime later today or sometime tomorrow. And I will reach out to Amanda sometime in the future. Ladies, I wish you the best of days. Enjoy this beautiful day we have
all
today,
right.
And many blessings. And
thank you.
I hope to have talk to you all soon.
Thank you, honey.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, Walt. Blessings. All right, we're going to go to our next caller, which is 720. You're on the line with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Yes, hi. Good. Do you guys do readings?
I do, yes. This is Trish.
Yes,
oh, okay.
we both do.
I just didn't wanna,
Trish is my guest.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just didn't want to overspeak or, you know, say something wrong. I'm just wondering what you guys see for career for me.
You know, again, that really just absolutely depends on what you want to do. So, and, you know, I don't know if Amanda does distance readings or not. I prefer to feel somebody's energy. Yeah, okay. And really, it's, again, that comes from you. You know, what do you want to do? I mean, I can, well, maybe Amanda, since you do the distance readings, maybe you can answer this for her if you want to.
Okay. You know, what I'm picking up was going along with Trish, you know, what it is you're asking what it is you should do as a career, I feel like it's what you should be doing in your heart that you already know, that we could both tell you, but you already know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Because I'm being told she already knows the answer to that. She's already got it in her heart and her head. And that's what's going to, you know, come to be of that, is because you have such a passion for what it is you're supposed to do. And Trish would say the same thing, that's what you're supposed to do. So I hope that helps you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings. All right, Trish,
thank
you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, area code 646, you're on the line with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Doing really good, honey. How are you?
Not bad at all. I haven't talked to you maybe in about like a year and a half, but
mm-hmm.
I will call into your show time to time.
Okay, so what can we do for you?
To check to see if there are any messages for me. If not, I can ask
okay.
a direct question.
Go ahead, Trish.
Okay. What comes to mind for me is, gosh, it's almost like a movement or something, and that could be a job, that could be house, that could be just, and not even related to any of those things, just movement in your life, you know, movement, learning new things or taking new classes or learning how to do something different. But it has to be something in, something that you're interested in and trying something new, like, gosh, I've always wanted to learn how to, like, you know, paint, or gosh, I've always wondered what it's like to learn how to, you know, write. I've always wanted to know how to do something different. So then put yourself out there, you know, take classes, you know, sign making, something of that nature. Just, not her get the ball rolling, that type of stuff. So if that makes any sense to you.
It does make a lot of sense to me. Everything that you said hits right on the nose. I am actually going to, I'm trying to move now. So that's movement, and you're right.
Oh.
It's all about movement for me. Yes, I'm trying to move. I'm looking for a place like a dog right now. So I have about 30 days to, you know, move from where I am now, and I'm trying to move as soon as possible. So that's one thing. And I'm looking for a new job. At the same time, which it doesn't prevent
all
the move. It's just looking for a new job that's going to be creative, something different. Also, I am submitting my application for college. You're right. and I'm taking public speaking and creative writing classes.
So all of that is exactly, you know, what's going on with you. Well, you know what? That's really encouraging, and I think that's wonderful. And it really does go along with the theme that people just want to know that there's more out there for them, and we're all kind of stepping into what we're supposed to be. So if you ever feel disheartened about, you know, all these changes taking place, all these changes are going to lead you right where you're supposed to be. You know, the light at the end of the tunnel is ourselves. So when we go through this transition process, we only come out, you know, again, who we're meant to be. So,
yes, you are right. So I am moving in the right direction then.
It definitely feels that way, honey. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Blessings.
Thank you. How can you listen?
I agree with you, Trish. That was amazing. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller, which is 484. You're on the line with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Hello, Amanda. Hello, Trish. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
How can we?
So I was listening to your guys' conversation about how, you know, we're really positive beings, but the negative is pushing so hard to distract us from that positive, you know, experience and existence. And I was just wondering if you both had any really good advice for people who are so immersed in the negative because it's just part of their life and their existence. And, like, you know, they're really in it, but they don't want to be part of it. You know, they have to work, you know, because that's their job. You know, their kids are in school, you know, whatever it is going on in their life, but they really want more of the positive. How would you recommend that they can, you know, bring that in without completely removing themselves?
Sure. Well, I would say, again, like I said, shifting perspective on it. Yes, there's what we think of as negative experiences happening to us, but when we shift the perspective of why is this happening to me or what is this trying to teach me, everything kind of changes, because then you can say, what is this situation trying to show me? Like, am I supposed to have patience? Am I supposed to be compassionate? Am I supposed to be understanding? And if it's a situation that they are truly not happy in, and there just seems to be absolutely no end to it, and change it. You know, again, the only person holding us back is ourselves. And then speaking our truth, like, I am not happy with this. Like, I'm really, really not. Like, what can I do to make magic in a situation where it's the best benefit to everyone? But that does start with the realization that it is trying to show me something, and maybe what it's trying to show you is that doesn't serve you anymore. Or maybe it is, you know, it's trying to motivate you to be more patient. It's trying to motivate you to be more understanding. You know, sometimes that is the lesson, is compassion, is empathy. But we should not have so much empathy that we allow ourselves to be a doormat either. So the situation where we've allowed ourselves to be a doormat and allow people to cross our boundaries or disrespect us, then we do need to change that situation. And that's when we kind of need to be our own hero and things and move away from that situation. And sometimes that's walking away from those types of things. And, you know, that makes us the warrior at that point. And when we walk away without giving any kind of reaction, you know, who wins? You know, you win, because
no, you don't have to let that energy, you know, take up your mind anymore. You really don't. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I actually had a further question because, you know, I feel like in our lives sometimes we allow ourselves to be spiritual doormats where, mm-hmm. you know, we're constantly mm-hmm. wanting to give of ourselves and we give and we give and we give and then we just
oh, yeah.
feel so mm-hmm. drained, but we've done so much good in that giving, and like the people that we're giving to aren't takers, they're just people who just needed that little bit more just to get them by. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, mm-hmm. what do you recommend for people who are such big givers, and you know, that's obviously helping them grow, but at the same time, you know, like where, how do you find that limit? How do you find like, okay, can I give a little more, or do I just say, no, I can't do more for other people? And like, but how do you watch those people get turned away and not feel like that's decreasing you?
True. I would suggest, you know, that's a, like the ultimate question right there is, you know, when do we stop allowing ourselves to be a doormat? Because we are compassionate beings. We do want to give, absolutely. And, you know, it kind of stops when we say it stops, you know. And, yes, we should be service to others. Yes, we should be helping. But there is an absolute limit when you see that your helping just kind of allows, you know, their behavior to worsen or they're not learning any lessons themselves. So each one of us as an individual needs to learn those lessons ourselves. And sometimes we ourselves have to provide that catalyst for somebody to be their own hero, if that makes sense. So, you know, we tell them, hey, you know, I've given you this and this, and I don't mind helping. I really, really don't. But there comes a time where you got to kind of, like, take up your own reins, as I said earlier, and kind of do this yourself. So this is the last time, or last time was the last time. And you know what? I'll help you find this. I'll give you resources. I'll give you this and this and this, you know. I'll give you advice on how to take your own power back in this, but ultimately it's up to you to get to that finish line yourself. And I'm more than happy to be, you know, the audience. I'm more than happy to be, you know, the person in the crowd cheering you on. But I want to see you do it. I want to see you do it. And that we can celebrate together when we both get to that finish line. So.
I agree.
What did you think, Amanda?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I agree. She is totally on it. That's right, Trish. That was good. Really good. I agree. I see that totally.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, ladies.
You're so welcome, honey.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. Blessings. Our next caller is 740. You're online with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Hello, Trish. Hello, Amanda. Wonderful day. Celebrate the day for, I hope you are as well, I guess. Getting around to that.
Thank you.
Sure. How are you, babe?
Wonderful, wonderful. Just finished putting the last of my jumbo 5-foot by 7-foot artist canvases into my studio and just enjoying the day.
Well, that's phenomenal.
I just started listening and calling in, so pardon me if I don't have any questions
for
you or anything. Keep celebrating the day yourselves and making the difference. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. We love your artwork, William. It's really good. You can check it out on William's Facebook page. And he is wonderful. So thank you, William. Blessings.
Blessings, lady.
And thanks for the
Namaste.
Support.
Blessings.
All right. Our next caller is area code 612. You're on the line with Amanda and Trish. How are you?
Hello. Hi. I'm good. Thank you so much, Amanda and Trish. Trish, I would like to ask you a question. I have a family member that I believe I have an ancestral karma with, and it's a very strained relationship. I believe everything is about learning. I wanted to know, could you pick up on what you think we are to learn and why it's so difficult and how I can work on its healing themes differently.
Mm.
I can. He's my son.
Okay. Immediately, what thought came to me is, you know, sometimes we're stuck in like this reincarnation cycle, and a lot of it has to do with the energies of the planet, but a lot of times it has to do with who we were in a past life with such a person. So your mother.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. So your mother and son in this lifetime, but perhaps before you were father and daughter or mother, you know.
I was wondering if he was my father because it feels like he carries father energy. I mean, just, I don't even know how to talk to him when I see him because I don't know what to say.
Sure.
It's very
so,
awkward for me, and it cuts me off with my grandkids.
Sure. So perhaps he's still in that father energy, you know. So maybe this is, that actually makes a lot of sense. So maybe this is a, again, forgiveness kind of stops that cycle in a way. So I can't necessarily see what happened in this past life, but I think.
So you think that resonates that he could have been my father?
It certainly does. That was the first thought that came
because
into
it,
me.
Because he makes it so
roles.
Difficult for me to be in his life.
Sure.
It hurts because I want to be able to see my grandchildren, and it's all up to him, and he's been shifting and changing, and he makes it difficult. You know, like he won't answer the phone, he won't call me back.
Okay.
Yes. And he's my avenue to see them, and I'm very close with them, and it's very hurtful.
Absolutely, I understand that. And maybe
I'm just telling him, like, I forgive him in my, like, in a prayer. Is that what you're saying, Trish?
Yes, but also self-forgiveness is huge because we don't know exactly what occurred in this previous lifetime. And, you know, I do feel like the roles are flipped somehow. And maybe we won't ever know, and that's fine. But
self-forgiveness, meaning forgive myself for what happened with us?
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
I do, he was very hard on me to some degree when I was alive. I mean, I know he loved me, but
sure.
So is it a chance for me to heal, like with my father?
Absolutely.
And he's giving me that opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, and he might have some things that he needs to forgive himself for too. Again, we don't know what occurred, but. Because
I know he tries to keep me at a distance. He told me that it would never be like his wife's relationship with her mother, that he would never be that close with me. And it's just very difficult. I try everything, you know, to be kinder and not make sure I'm not treating him like a child because that's one thing he just goes nuts over. And I don't mean to, I don't try to treat him that way, but he defines what he thinks that is. And he will scream at me on the phone, and I told him that's abuse because it's pretty nasty screaming. And my dad never quite did it like that. He used to yell at me when I was little doing my homework, and then he'd just get mad in general, you know, like for the kids.
Sure. I think maybe there's some things that he needs to, of course, you know, we can only ask. Creator, we can only ask that portion of us to, offer him the opportunity to forgive and also to forgive himself, and then you do the work of forgiving yourself and forgiving him as well. And sometimes, you know, the lesson is, because and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I catch myself doing it where I try to, like, control situations, and then I have to remind myself, no, the situation is what it is. I can make the most
of
it.
He's definitely the controller.
sure. So, you know, you could probably try to preach that to him, but it's really up to him whether he wants to take that advice or not. So, just send the intentions out there that, you know, the relationship gets healed, that you can both do your inner work on this, whatever happened before. And you bring up a really good point. Like, we are holding on to a lot of past life karma and ancestral karma that we do need to break. You know, we really have to break. And forgiveness is really key on breaking.
Would he go out of my life if I healed that? Or would we just become better?
That's a good question. And, you know, I don't know that I have the answer on that. I don't feel like there's going to be like a break in ties forever. I don't. But, you know, that depends on how well you both do the inner work and really work on, you know, breaking those ties from whatever karma occurred. Honestly. Yeah.
Trisha, can I message you? I messaged you last night. I was going to be on Mandy's show today. I'm friends with Mandy, and she gave me your name and everything. And wondering if sometime I could talk with you. I wanted to see what you charge and things like that and see what exactly you do. Thank you very much. My name's Kathy.
All right.
Thank you, Amanda.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the support. All right, Trish, you want to tell people how they can find you in the name of your church and so they can reach out to you and experience your wonderful services?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Trish Violet on Facebook. For those of you that follow me and, on Facebook, there are several links to my page from this show. And then my sanctuary page on Facebook is Melody Lane Sanctuary, as in the musical note, Melody, and then L-I-N-E, Lane Sanctuary. That is out of Bethalto, Illinois. I do personal readings. I do Reiki healings. I just do spiritual counseling. If you just want to come in and talk, you know, I mean, I'm fine with that because a lot of people are having experiences that they don't know what to do with. And so, again, we're going to start doing hero classes, and especially I'm trying to kind of target the younger generations on this because they kind of identify with the hero stuff going around, and those are their role models. And, you know, I want people to understand that they can be their own heroes, that they have a hero inside of them, and it's a matter of just setting that loose. And we're also going to be doing author nights if you want to come listen, or if you have a book yourself that you've written, come on in and talk about it a little bit and talk about your story and art. You know, if you have done artwork, I want to display that for you. I want the world to see, you know, what has come out of this, you know, conscious renaissance. I want people to know that they can do that this themselves. And if you have music that you play, come play music with us, come dance with us. You know, keep an eye out for
that. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It really does. And
I should come out and play music and dance with you. That sounds fun.
Because I do it myself now. I do it by myself, so I want somebody to dance and sing with and play music with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of how I've learned to transmute some of these, you know, intense energies that are going on. So please reach out to me. If you just want to come out and see the sanctuary and feel the energy, that is fine too. I'll gladly sit down and show you what we got going on here. So I'll be happy to hear from you.
That's wonderful. Trish, I want to thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, and thank you for putting out your wonderful sanctuary, your wonderful services, your vision, you know, your heart. Thank you for your time. I'm just totally grateful you came on. So everybody check out Trish and the sanctuary and her wonderful things she has. Check her out. She's really cool. And we'll see you next Monday at 11 a.m. Central. Trish, thank you again.
Blessings,
everybody. Have a good day.
running through your head. Television freak show, cops and lovers everywhere. Animals and children tell the truth, they never lie. Which one is more human? There's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion in your